afternoon, Weebs. We are without our fearless leader, Byron, today, so Maggleby is taking the reins because guess what? It's my birthday episode. So Maggleby here checking in. Who's at the table with me?
We got Mechanical right over here. Just give me the rundown of the lowdown. After my little upgrade, Jaw's doing pretty good.
Excellent.
And, of course, we have 606 Defender of Justice at the table once again.
Good, good. And that's it. It's just the three of us, and we are going to be talking about queer representation in anime. The good, the bad, the ugly. We're going to get into it, because this is the hill that I will die on, and I'm... And we're ready to get into it.
Absolutely.
So one of you guys want to go first while I pull up Byron's summary that he was going to do?
Yeah, I mean, so I recently, just this week, I was, you know, trying to delve into some other anime that I haven't seen. So I came across this anime called Akuma no Riddle. It's pretty cool. It's not as gay as I was hoping for, but it is about a group of assassins. They all go to this, they're all brought to the school in class black, and each one of them is assigned to basically assassinate another member of their class. Mm-hmm. And so you have Haru, who is the one that everyone in the class is chose to assassin, and then... Azuma, who decides that she does not want to kill her, like, she is going to protect her instead. So, each one of them is given a card, and, they have to give Haru this card on the day that, you know, they're planning their assassination. They cannot, you know, if they kill her without giving the card, it does not count. And the whole point of it is that if they do this and they succeed and they kill her, the school will grant the person one wish of their desire. And it's a really interesting story. It reminded me a lot of like Danganronpa, even in the music that they chose. But yeah, it was really, really cute. I really liked the relationship between Haru and Azuma along the way. It's not as canon as I was expecting. It's not, you know, over the top either, you know, as a lot of, you know, these Yuri anime are. But the cast was really cool. Every single character was really, really awesome. And they had their own crazy ways of assassination. And yeah, it was really great because Haru's just this cute little girl, and you know, she comes into this classroom and gives everyone like a little charm for their phone.
Oh.
She's, you know, she's so sweet, and she doesn't know that, or we're led to believe that she doesn't know about this or like what's happening at the beginning, and then she finds out about all this, and it's really cool. It's I really liked getting to see the character Azuma, who is this more masculine character compared to Haru, you know, be her protector. She's grown up in an assassin family, raised to be an assassin, but she hasn't killed anybody. We find out in the first episode that she is a virgin. She hasn't, you know, made her first assassination yet, and we find out a lot about her backstory and why she connects so much to Haru, and this was just so sweet. I couldn't stop watching it. I was a little hesitant at first because I don't know. But yeah, as I kept watching it, it was really great. Yeah, definitely a cool watch. Not too... For a Yuri anime, it was not over the top. There was not too much fan service. It was just a great storyline, great characters.
Cool. So it was just like, it was a good sort of typical actual representation of,
and that's...
Without,
that's...
So what are some of the, for people who don't watch a lot of things with, you know, queer representation in them, what are some pitfalls in Yuri that they're typically fallen into.
Sisters.
Oh, God, yes, sisters. So that falls under, I'm going to go back and back and back to this with the negative representation is queer representation so often falls under the umbrellas of either comedic or, like, complete perv.
Yeah.
Or both at the same time.
Right. And that's something that was very comforting watching this, is that, you know, they weren't, like, making out all the time or being like too over the top or
sure.
You know, it was real.
Like a believable, like, relationship between two people.
Yeah, exactly.
That's really neat.
Yeah, it was really cool. And plus with like such a cool storyline with all these badass female assassins, you know, so in each one of them, there were so many characters. It's 12, 13 people in the class. So, you know, you have these 13 characters for you to have an opportunity to really, you know, connect with or relate with. And that's something I really like too. So yeah, it was a
neat.
Cool one for me. So
cool. Cool.
Yeah.
Well, I don't really have much experience in this field of cinema, but, well, I do know of some, positive characters. I just got into,
sure.
Gundam Build Divers. Now, I know I've been going back on the Gundam series and all that.
It's your thing. It's your thing.
It's my
MO. Fine. It's your thing.
Well, there have been LGBTQ characters in like previous series, but in this one, it's more based in like a virtual setting, so you can like set up your avatar like however you want, and some of the like main characters like this dude named Maggie. M-A-G-E-E.
McGee!
Yep. Rocks out the nail polish, got him to good length. But he's a really solid dude. Like, he helps out, like, new players with, like, finding out, like, where to go in the game. And giving, like, helpful tips, like, telling them, like, what are the real purposes of, like, being in here is, like, knowing yourself, mm-hmm. knowing your enemies, and loving what you build.
All right, cool. And he's not, like, played off as, like, a joke drag queen or anything like that? It just...
Slightly, but not so much as, like, others have been.
Like, yeah.
He carries himself with grace.
Cool, cool. Yeah, because I always, when we talk about any kind of, you know, queers in Mecha, my brain always goes to Gurren Lagann.
Of course. Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's, I love that character. She's the techie of the group, and she does her job well, but goddamn is she absolutely just... Her queerness is the joke. And I don't think anyone actually refers to them as her.
Yeah.
I just always default to whatever gender the individual appears to be presenting as. And, yeah, no, that was, you know, the and actually this segues really nicely into, Byron's not here tonight, but he did leave for us a character that he wanted to talk about, and this falls into the same thing where you have anyone who is portrayed as gay or gender fluid or gender queer or trans is always painted in like clown makeup with, mm-hmm. you know, think very much like Tim Curry, you know, in
right.
Oh my God, in Rocky Horror. Thank right. you. Shoo, it's been a long day, you guys. It's been a really long Monday.
No, I wouldn't say Maggie's as far as Frankenfurter.
I mean, that's good, honestly, because that's kind of, they also have that character in One Punch Man. They have that one character who comes out,
yeah,
who's the
Pretty Pretty Prisoner.
Yeah,
yes.
Pretty Pretty Prisoner, who comes out and is like the drag queen, but literally had just broken out of prison and was was a bad person and was constantly shedding their clothes because they were a pervert and had the circular, like, eyeshadow on that's always, always present, and the overdone lips. It's, yeah, you get a lot of that really negative clown makeup stereotype where the queer individual is played off as a joke. And it's nice to hear that the character you're describing seems to sort of fall under that umbrella, but it's not pushed into. Like, they're not played off as a joke.
Right.
Mm. Cool. Neat. All right. So like I said, going off of that, I'm going to read Byron's episode selection. My selection for tonight's episode is Impero Ivakov. For all intents and purposes, I will use their pronouns they, their, them. Emporio, these are spelled differently. I don't know which is right. It's either Impero or Emporio. Ivankov, or Ivachan for short, is the queen of the Kambaka Kingdom, known as Okama King, and a miracle person, and is one of the officers of the Revolutionary Army. We're talking about One Piece, right? No? What are we talking about? you didn't
tell you anything.
Because he says Sanji later down. Yeah, One Piece, One Piece. We're talking about One Piece.
All right, I'm lost in the pirate map.
We're talking about One Piece. All right, cool. So as one of the officers of the Revolutionary Army, Okama being the Japanese slang for homosexual, their appearance is direct homage to Tim Curry's Dr. Frankenfurter from Rocky Horror.
There we go.
Ivachan's controls on controls an island of trans followers, as well as members in the prison of Impel Down in a location referred to as Nukamaland. Ivankov ate the Horu Horu no Mi, which allows them to control the hormones of the human body. Ooh, fascinating. And is one of the very few known powers coming from a devil fruit that can affect other people's bodies as well as their own. This power led to be known as the Miracle Person. Despite their appearance, Ivachan is a powerful fighter should the need arise. Their strength is great enough to allow them to fight on equal terms with some of One Piece's most powerful combatants. They even help Sanji get stronger during One Piece's 2-year time skip. Iva is sadly one of those LGBTQ+ characters played for laughs, but as an ally, Byron appreciates the fact that they play such an important role in the story. Byron also appreciates that they are a force in their own right. So that's cool. I unfortunately don't really watch One Piece, so I can't comment much further on that. It sounds like...
Yeah, we've hit a wall.
Yeah, it sounds like a pretty cool character who unfortunately... I think I have a mental image of them, and it's absolutely that, like... trans clown umbrella of the comedy appearance wise that just happens so often.
Yeah, now that I'm thinking about it, there's also a character in Tokyo Ghoul that fits that.
Mm-hmm.
The gourmand?
Well, no, I was thinking more Nico, who is a smaller character in the show, but if you look at him, he literally looks like Chad Michaels. Who is a queen on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Mm-hmm.
It's uncanny. Like, you look at them.
Oh, shit!
Yeah.
I'm showing them.
But again, yeah.
I remember the character now.
I'm looking at this photo, and this is just, you know, I don't know, I haven't watched Tokyo Ghoul, but if that's, like, how they... It looks like it's the exaggerated lipstick lips.
Yep.
High eyebrows. The classic kind of drag queen specific look, which is separate from trans.
Yes.
But the classic like drag queen look, which is what so many male queer individuals get saddled with in anime, is that one stereotypical look that puts them under both the comedy played off as a joke, and very often through their actions.
Yep, that's Maggie.
Ooh! He actually doesn't fit that stereotype. He's cute. I like him.
Yes.
Okay. What is this series again? I like that.
Gundam Biz Divers.
Okay.
All right, good to know. So yeah, no, that character that McGee does not fall into that trap, which is really nice to see.
Yes.
Which is very refreshing because we see it so often. And it's an all-encompassing look for any kind of male queer individual. Just they all get saddled with that over-the-top, fake animated drag queen look. And it's incredibly frustrating. Also because, so I'm going to go off now. Before I talk about my beautiful shining beacon of hope of a series, I'm going to go off and talk a little about all of the frustrating negative queer representation that we see over and over and over again in anime.
I got another Gundam reference for that.
Oh, yeah?
This one from Unicorn Gundam. Uh-huh. This guy's name is Lieutenant Angelo from Neo Zeon. Mm-hmm. He has a major, major crush on his superior officer, whose name is Full Frontal, the second coming of Char.
God damn it.
Oh, oh yeah.
But again, I'm looking at that. Is that a evil character? He looks very upset.
Yeah, it's most... What I see, like, as a bad representation is, like, it's mostly of, like, a unrequited puppy dog thing where he really gets nothing in return.
Sure.
It's, like, just, like, plain old service. Like, okay, you're my faithful lapdog. Okay, go take care of that.
And yeah.
It's, like, no returned emotion. He's just, like, blindly over. So like, oh, yes! Yes, my master! I'll go take care of him!
Okay, yeah. That, I mean, that happens, too, but I find that less to be a That's less a pitfall of queer representation in anime and just more a totally separate trope that happens constantly.
Thank you.
Male, female, you know. And it's I guess it's kind of cool to see that trope that gets applied pretty evenly across the board applied to someone who's interested in a male. The reason I was looking at that, and you can usually tell just looking at a character if they are good or bad in anime. Like, you can just, you see that right off the bat. And he looked evil, which was going to sort of segue into the other major thing that queer representation falls into, is that they're universally just perverted and oftentimes criminally so, to the point where they don't give a goddamn about consent.
Yeah.
A lot of villains that, you know, fall into that area. I talked previously in Unsatisfying Endings about a character who is one of my favorite villains because he's just makes me so uncomfortable, but it falls again under that really negative stereotype of he is, honestly thinking back on it, he's probably pansexual, but he's referred to as gay because he's very interested in the boys and it's his main motivation to do all of his evil nefarious things is to get at these other guys who are completely not interested. And that's used as even in good characters, like going back to One Punch Man, Putty
Prisoner.
Yeah, Putty Prisoner isn't necessarily a bad guy, but he still just like immediately just has zero, is so over the top, played as the clown, but also is played as a little bit evil because he has no respect for boundaries.
Yeah, and I, as you're saying all of this, in my mind, I am just seeing Hisoka from Hunter x Hunter, literally a clown. One of the coolest characters, I think, in my opinion. I really appreciate the character, but he's portrayed as that pervert.
Yep.
Preying on these young children.
Yep.
Which is, it sucks.
It's incredibly common to see.
Yeah.
If you see any kind of representation, typically in anime, it's played off as a joke and or a negative or evil motive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just indiscriminate, really takes the humanity and the choice out of anything that that person is doing, which is incredibly frustrating to watch. And on the off chance that you actually get a good queer character, guess what? They're gonna die.
At some point in the story, depending on
guess what? Here. They're gonna die. There are no happy endings for the queers, ever.
Or their love interest.
Yes! Or their love interest. It's ridiculous.
I don't want to give in any spoilers, but watch Akuma no Riddle if you want some good stuff.
Excellent. Good. No, give me your recommendations. They're good. All right, so because I could literally go on for days and days and days pulling examples and examples of the things that I'm talking about. We're instead just going to kind of segue into the shining beacon of hope, Yuri on Ice. Yep, 606 and I are just going to spend the rest of this time sighing and screaming and groaning.
Yeah.
This show...
amazing.
This show is so good.
Vakusno.
It's so good. So you have your two main characters. You have Yuri, who's a Japanese boy who's been figure skating his whole life. He's always looked up to a Russian figure skater named Victor, who's a few years older than him. Now, in the figure skating game, you age out of it pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. Once you hit like 25, they tend to say like, you're about done.
Yeah, these are your last years.
These are your last years. You're about done. So like, Yuri's, you know, 21, 22.
He's 23.
He's 23. 20, thank 20. You. Yeah, 606 just rewatched this. Yuri's 23. So he's in his kind of final stretch. He's in his last couple of years, which also tend to be the best and most spectacular years, because you're at the height of your career, and then once you hit that height, you just, like, bow out. You're done. You transfer to coaching. So because Victor's a couple years older than him, he decides to quit and be a coach, which is a huge deal because Victor, even though he's kind of aged out, he is still popular enough that everyone wants him to keep going.
Yeah.
And he decides that he likes Yuri's spark enough, his drive, that he wants to leave Russia and go to Japan to coach Yuri in particular. It's fine. Yes, this is expect this to happen. There's no way we're going to be able to edit all out. So you see basically this really, really shy kid who's very good at figure skating, but very bad at performing because he just gets in his own way mentally. And he posts a video basically where he's figure skating one of Victor's most famous routines, and his friend at the ice rink just films him.
Yeah, her children film
him. Oh, that's right. Her children film him. Her children are filming him. And then immediately, of course, post this online because that's what they do. And because he thinks no one's watching, he kills it. He's incredible. Amazing. And Victor sees this video and says, this kid.
Yeah.
And flies down, and so of course poor little Yuri is like,
he's got posters all over his room,
and he's so embarrassed and he doesn't know what to do, and this is such a dream come true.
And there is Victor.
And Victor
in the bath.
That's right, when he first shows up, Yuri's family owns a hot spring, and his family, being into ice skating because that's what Yuri's like been doing, he's like, oh my god, Victor's here! Victor's here! And so he goes out and you just see this billowing steam and a fully naked Victor. The steam covers up all the good bits. You don't get to see anything because, you know, it's not a yaoi, but... So anyways, you see, Victor is this incredibly just... free and spur of the moment and passionate kind of guy, and he has no boundaries, but not in that creepy way we were just talking about, right. Like in an innocent way.
Yeah.
So you see these two make their way through the figure skating world and train and compete against other people. And it's a phenomenal cast of characters, which we could get into with representation, not just queer, yeah, but color.
Absolutely.
Because you have people from all over the world, and they show people from all over the world. Yeah. And it's very, very good.
Yeah.
But you see, slowly, Yuri's, like, incredible respect and star awe of Victor turn into more of a respect and, like, friendship and then kind of love, because they're spending so much time together.
Yeah.
And you get to see this really nice, natural, awkward progression,
yeah,
of fumbling around and trying to figure out how he feels for Victor, but also, you know, navigating those feelings within the professional world of figure skating and the personal world, because all these figure skaters are best friends and cheer each other on, and it's beautiful.
So cute.
It's very good. And the thing is, you see this kind of thing in anime a good bit, but they never follow through. Guess what, kids? They fucking follow through. They kiss, and they never outright, like, they have trouble outright saying, you know, that I want to be with you, but they talk about wanting to spend the rest of their lives together and coaching, and it doesn't take slash goggles, guys. Like, no. They're in a public venue, and Victor should be pep-talking Yuri, and Yuri gets frustrated and pulls him away from the other person and plants one on him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's wonderful. Towards the end of the series, they exchange rings. Like, they follow through. You get to see this really natural, fun, funny progression of just a relationship that happens to be between two males and two regular guys. None of this, you know, like, eyeshadow and over-the-top lipstick and blah, 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 like, bad stereotypes. They're just two characters that you're invested in and you're following, and they get to be happy together.
Mm.
And it warms my heart. It melts my frigid, jaded soul.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah, I really just enjoy that one of the huge themes of the show is love.
Mm-hmm.
Both Yuri's, the routines that Victor choreographs for them are
based
around love, different
they
types
are.
Of love. And you have this whole episode towards the end where Victor gets to talk about, you know, he's the narrator of the episode. You get to learn about his journey with life and love and learning
mm-hmm.
about that through Yuri. And it's
good. It's incredible. So what 606 is talking about is in the show, there are two characters named Yuri. And one of the Yuri we've been talking about is the main character from Japan. But then there's another Yuri, which they nickname Yuri-O, just to tell them apart. Yuri-O is from Russia and 100% expected Victor to be his coach and is pissed that he is not. So mad. He's so mad. So he literally follows Victor to Japan and says, "No, fuck you, you're coaching me. This is what's happening. You have no choice in the matter."
Yeah.
And so Victor, in order to, I guess, decide who he's going to coach, creates a competition, and he has these two beautiful compositions by the same composer, and the theme was love, and one of them was a sexual love, and one of them was you had Eros, the sexual love, and you had what's the Greek name? Oh my god.
Oh, what
Aphrodite?
Is it?
No, not a god's
Eros,
name, the
yeah.
Greek plays. The like pure love, pure romantic, innocent love. You had sexual love versus innocent love, basically.
Okay.
And these, he designs these very cool, routines around these, and one of them is very, you know, innocent, and the other one is very sexual. And so immediately, you know, oh, Yurio is absolutely going to kill the sexual one. He's got this. And Yuri's going to do the innocent one. That's their natural characteristics. Nope. He flips them and makes both of them learn a lot about themselves and their lives and their passions and trying to find basically that missing part of themselves. And it's very good.
Beautiful.
It's very good. You see Yuri start to find his confidence in having to portray this confident, sexy person out on the ice who is just, like, not something he's ever accessed before. And then you see Yuri-O having to learn how to rely on others and portray a more innocent, like, familial love and accept a heartbreak. And that's not... He is an angry cat man. Yeah, so you have all these beautiful elements coming in, and the whole series really is about love. Love of friends, love of the sport, love of yourself, and love of the boys.
So many boys.
They're so good. All the boys are so good, and they're so good to each other.
Yeah.
And everyone gets to be happy. And I can't wait for season two.
I know. I just, yeah, as we mentioned, I had watched it. I just rewatched it this week. I did it in two sittings. And I spent so much time just, you know, getting reinvested in these characters. Mm-hmm. And for it to just stop so quick, I was, no.
Like, right after, because, like, towards the end, they have a fight. And you're like, oh, no, they lied to me. I'm not going to have my happy ending.
Yeah, that's literally how they start episode 12. The last episode. And
they start having a fight, but then they end and it's okay. And they're both going to be performing again. But they're going to bring out the best in each other. And they still love each other. I'm flailing. I'm having an emotional moment because I'm yaoi trash. I watch so much yaoi, and as such, like, I love it, I eat it up, but I also recognize on a cerebral level how much of it is so goddamn toxic.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so bad. There are so many bad tropes that come up over and over and over again of the lack of consent, of your sexuality suddenly changing simply because of persistence. Mm. And that's just not how it works.
Right.
And so much of, you know, falling in love with essentially your rapist, like, happens constantly. And, you know, even in, like I said, things that are designed to be focused around a male and male relationship, boy love and yaoi and stuff, it so often falls into those very, very bad consent traps.
Right. Yes.
And to see something that actually positively shows a relationship of someone other than a man and a woman, like, coming together and bonding over something together and slowly growing to respect each other as they fall in love is, mm-hmm. is so refreshing. Is so refreshing.
Yeah. Yeah. I want an anime like that for girls. Like, I really someday. Need, like, an anime that's not about sisters falling in love, or, like, I don't know.
There's so much incest. There's so much incest. Again, another, like, oh, that's not specifically queer. It happens with queer, but it happens with everything in Japan when you come to, like,
right.
the for. It's, again, it's the queer relationships fall under the forbidden and perverted, which right. also includes incestuous things. Mm-hmm. So it's just natural to put them together.
Yeah. I mean, even if they're, like, there's that one. I tried watching Citrus. But even though they're stepsisters, it's weird. Mm-hmm. It's weird. I don't like it. I just want two girls to fall in love because they go to school together or something. Like, I don't know.
Oh, that's the other thing that super often comes up in guy love things is it's an all-male school, so there are no other options, so it's okay.
Okay, right.
There are no other options. There are no girls around, so it's okay to have your, like, gay dalliance.
Yeah. Something I hadn't thought about, but I do really like is, you know, we have those masculine queer women, like in, I want to say, Kiss Him, Not Me. We have that one.
I need to see that one so bad. I know, I know. I need to watch it.
You know, for the life of me, I can't remember her name, but we have that one character, and she's just so cool. She's masculine, and she plays the prince, and she's wonderful, and she's all into yaoi, too, which is really fun, and it's, you know, I love characters like that. They're usually very minor. We don't get too much love from them, but that's something I really enjoy as well.
All we want are real relationships represented.
Yeah.
In more than just the cishet format. That's all I want. That's all I want is LGBTQ plus people are, strangely enough, regular fucking people.
Oh. And
that's all I want in anime is to see the representation of the full scale and allow them to, sure, have their societal struggles, because that's a reality. But to end up not dying tragically, not becoming a villain, not suppressing things, it drives me. And I know that it's a huge societal, cultural battle. I'm not going to see it anytime soon. Except that I saw it in Yuri on Ice. So maybe we're turning a corner. But that's the biggest thing about representation of any sort, of within the queer community or within, you know, different colors, within different genders. All we want is to be able to see people as people, to be able to identify someone on the screen and go, oh, hey, that person's like me.
Yeah. That's it.
That's it.
Too much to ask.
No, you wouldn't think.
Don't
All right. Well, we're at about 40 minutes now, and I think we kind of wrapped that up. So this is Maggleby signing out.
And this is Mechanical logging out and shutting down.
And 606 over and out.
All right. Bye, guys. Thanks for tuning in.
Bye.